This is Audible.
Command and Control. Nuclear Weapons, the Damascus Accident, and the Illusion of Safety by Eric Schlosser. 23 years after Sandia became a separate laboratory, it created a nuclear weapons safety department. An assistant to the Secretary of Defense for Atomic Energy, Carl Walski, was concerned about the risks of nuclear accidents. He had traveled to Denmark, dealt with the aftermath of the Thule accident, and come to believe that the safety standards of the weapons labs were based on a questionable use of statistics. Before a nuclear weapon could enter the stockpile, the odds of its accidental detonation had to be specified, along with its other military characteristics. Those odds were usually said to be 1 in 1,000,000 during storage, transportation, and handling. But the dimensions of that probability were rarely defined. Was the risk 1 in 1,000,000 for a single weapon, or for an entire weapon system? Was it 1 in 1,000,000 per year, or throughout the operational life of a weapon? How the risk was defined made a big difference at a time when the United States had about 30,000 nuclear weapons. The permissible risk of an American nuclear weapon detonating inadvertently could range from 1 in 1,000,000 to 1 in 20,000, depending on when the statistical parameters were set. Walski issued new safety standards in March 1968. They said that the probability of a premature nuclear detonation should be no greater than 1 in 1,000,000,000 amid normal storage and operational environments during the lifetime of a single weapon. And the probability of a detonation amid abnormal environments should be no greater than 1 in 1,000,000. An abnormal environment could be anything from the heat of a burning airplane to the water pressure inside a sinking submarine. Walski's safety standards applied to every nuclear weapon in the American stockpile. They demanded a high level of certainty that an accidental detonation could never occur. But they offered no guidelines on how these strict criteria could be met. And in the memo announcing the new policy, Walski expressed confidence that the adoption of the attached standards will not result in any increase in weapon development times or costs. A few months later, William L. Stevens was chosen to head Sandia's new nuclear safety department. Stevens had earned a degree in electrical engineering at Virginia Polytechnic Institute, served as an officer in the Army, and spent a few years in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, working for an oil company. He joined Sandia in 1957 at the age of 28. Bob Purifoy had hired him, and the two worked together on the electrical system of the W-49 warhead, the first one to contain a trajectory sensing switch as a safety device. When Stevens was assigned to lead the new safety department, he wasn't convinced that nuclear weapon accidents posed a grave threat to the United States. But he'd been closer to a nuclear detonation than most scientific observers, and seen firsthand how unpredictable one could be. While serving in the Army, Stevens had been trained to assemble the warheads of tactical weapon systems. In May 1953, members of his battalion participated in the test of an atomic cannon. Its shells could travel 20 miles and produce a yield equivalent to that of the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. For the test in the Nevada desert, all sorts of things were placed near ground zero to study the weapon's effects. Trucks, tanks, railroad cars, aircraft panels, oil drums and cans of gasoline, household goods and materials, denim, flannel, rayon curtains, mops and brooms, a one-story brick structure, steel bridges, buildings that resembled motels, 100 tall pine trees, field crops, flowers, insects, cages full of rats and mice, 56 dogs tethered inside aluminum tubes, 42 pigs dressed in U.S. Army uniforms whose skin would respond to thermal radiation in a manner similar to that of human skin, and more than 3,000 soldiers, including Bill Stevens, who huddled in a trench about 3 miles from ground zero. The troops were part of an ongoing study of the psychological effects of nuclear warfare. They'd been ordered to climb out of their trenches and march toward the mushroom cloud after the blast. The Army Field Forces Human Research Unit hoped to discover how well they would follow the order, whether they'd obey it or come unglued at the sight of a large nuclear explosion. The atomic shell would fly directly over the heads of Stevens and the other soldiers. They were told to crouch in their trenches until the weapon detonated, then rise in time to brace against the blast wave and watch the explosion. At 8:30 in the morning, a great fireball lit up the desert, about 90 miles from Las Vegas. As the troops stood, a powerful shockwave blew past, catching them by surprise. It was a precursor wave, a weapon effect that hadn't been predicted. Highly compressed air had come down from the fireball, hit the ground, and spread outward, traveling faster than the blast wave. When Stevens and his unit climbed from the trenches to march toward Ground Zero, they were engulfed by a cloud of dirt and dust. Their lead officer couldn't read the radiation dosage markers and led them closer to Ground Zero than planned. After returning to their base in Albuquerque, Stevens shook the dirt out of his uniform and saved some of it in a can. 20 years later, he had the dirt tested at Sandia, and it was still radioactive. After becoming the head of the Nuclear Safety Department at the lab, Stevens looked through the accident reports kept by the Defense Atomic Support Agency, the Pentagon group that had replaced the Armed Forces Special Weapons Project. The military now used Native American terminology to categorize nuclear weapon accidents. The loss, theft, or seizure of a weapon was an empty quiver. Damage to a weapon, without any harm to the public or risk of detonation, was a bent spear. And an accident that caused the unauthorized launch or jettison of a weapon, a fire, an explosion, a release of radioactivity, or a full-scale detonation was a broken arrow. The official list of nuclear accidents, compiled by the Department of Defense and the AEC, included 13 broken arrows. Bill Stevens read reports that secretly described a much larger number of unusual events with nuclear weapons, and a study of abnormal